Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament.
The Old Testament reading for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost is from Jeremiah chapter 23. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 2. Remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the sixth chapter. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups, by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, we talked about God's purpose in selecting us, about at least part of the reason why he has chosen us to be his from before the foundation of the world. Paul told us that he had done it to unite all things in Christ, to sum up or to gather everything into his Son. Today, we will continue to speak about being united in Christ, about why that is important and about what it means for us. And so to get us started on that track, I have a question for you. Are you an alien? I know, it's a silly question, right? But of course, I'm not talking about the aliens from space, because that's not what our text for today is talking about. Our text is talking about aliens as in those people who live in a different country. And yet again, I'm not really talking about being an alien here in the United States. I'm talking about spiritually. So, I ask you again, are you an alien? According to Paul, in our text for today, the answer to that question is no, because you have been made one in Christ. Listen again, therefore, to our reading and hear about the truth that we are all united in our Savior. Therefore, remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Paul here has to remind people of what it was like before. And this is especially important in the city of Ephesus, remember, because the city of Ephesus is not a Jewish city. It's a Gentile city. In fact, a very Gentile city. You remember we talked about how it's got the temple of Artemis, and the Greek followers of her were very strong in the city. And so it was definitely not Jewish culture. And before Jesus came, if you weren't a Jew, then you were, in fact, separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise. Paul even goes so far as to say that before Christ came, if you weren't a Jew, you were one having no hope and without God in the world. Those are hard words. After all, we think in terms of how much God loves everyone, and we're like, well, how could God have tolerated that happening? How could God have let there be people in the world who had no chance? And part of it, I think, is that we tend to forget that everyone had a chance at some point, especially when you think about it in terms of that there was a point on earth where literally everyone who existed knew about God and believed in God.
I grant you it was a relatively brief time, but Adam and Eve knew, and they were the only people on earth. Literally everyone, all the human beings, were aware of God and believed in him. And yet, choices were made. And as much as we hate to say it, our choices have consequences for those who come after us. And Adam and Eve's choice to fall, choice to go against the word of God, resulted in that there were people who had their chance stripped from them. People who were so alienated by God because of what their parents and their grandparents had done, that they were in a place that they never heard the word, through no fault of their own, but simply because somebody down the line in their history chose to go against God, chose to not believe in him, and chose to not teach their children the truth. And so, the children didn't learn the truth. They didn't care about the truth. They didn't keep the truth. And eventually, that leads to there being very, very few places, at least as far as we can tell, where God's word was preached in ancient times. That's how things were before. Before Christ came, being a Gentile was very bad. Because in Old Testament times, the way that you were saved was by being a Jew. And so, in order to convert in Old Testament times, you had to stop being whatever you were before and start being a Jew. That's how it was. If you weren't a Jew, you were, in fact, separated from Christ. And you didn't have any hope. But of course, we know that God could not tolerate that indefinitely. That God could not leave things as they were forever. And so, he sent his son. And so our reading continues. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. As you're reading this, maybe you notice an undercurrent that Paul is dealing with here. Did you notice how often he has to tell people that there isn't any hostility anymore? And just to give you an idea of what Paul's doing here, he's pointing out that there shouldn't be any hostility, which means that he knows that there is. And this happens throughout the New Testament in the early church. We see it very, very frequently, that the Jews and the Gentiles, both of whom are now united in Christ, as Paul says here, really don't like each other very much. And part of it is because of a doctrinal issue. Some of the Jews were saying that you had to be circumcised in order to be a Christian. And at the same time, the Gentiles here are remembering what Paul says when he says you don't have to be circumcised. But it's also because of different cultures, because of different histories, different languages even sometimes. And so there is friction between the people of God that isn't supposed to be there. And Paul recognizes this, and he's trying to deal with that as he's talking about this. He tries to point out that the Jew and the Gentile have now been made one because of what Christ did on the cross. That there isn't any separation. That the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins separated and cut through that curtain that was separating everyone from God. There is now nothing that separates us from God. There is nothing that separates us from Jesus, which means also that there shouldn't be anything separating us from each other. Christ abolished the commandments and the ordinances when he did this. And when he says that, he's not talking about the Ten Commandments,
right?
He's not talking about the moral law. He's talking about those old ceremonies, those old rituals, the holiness laws. That's what he abolished. Those aren't there anymore. You don't have to make a sacrifice to God in order to be at peace with him. You don't have to cleanse yourself in order to make sure that he doesn't strike you down when you come into his presence. That's all no more. The curtain has been torn. We now have peace with Christ, which means that we now also have peace with each other. But Paul recognizes that just saying that isn't going to make it happen, and that he's not looking for some sort of superficial peace where everybody just sort of pretends to get along but actually hates each other's guts. That's not what Paul is looking for. That's not what Christ is building inside of us. And so Paul continues as our reading goes on. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. You've likely heard fairly frequently that our bodies are temples to God, and that we are all living stones that are being used to build the dwelling place of God. This is building off of that image, and actually, this may be the image that the others are building off of. And again, make sure you notice, Paul points out this peace that is there. Peace that is primarily about your access in the Spirit to the Father, but is also secondarily about peace with your fellow man. This is where he goes and he explicitly says that we are no longer strangers and aliens. We aren't Gentiles living in the land of Jews, and the Jews aren't the Jews living in the land of the Gentiles. There is no stranger. There is no alien. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter who your parents were. You are all on the same level. You're all on the same footing. You are all equally loved by God, and Christ died for you all. You are all now fellow citizens. And again, he's using kind of that specific legal language there to try and get across what he's trying to say. We now have certain rights within the kingdom of God. Rights that were earned for us on the cross, given to us by Jesus, and that are still true even now. But I do want to point out, What is the foundation? What is the cornerstone? Our hymn of the day was perfect for this, because it talks about where our peace comes from, where our unity comes from. Because we are being built as members of the household of God on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. What does that mean? It means the Bible, the Word. The apostles referencing the New Testament, the prophets referencing the Old Testament. We have our unity based not on some sort of superficial ignorance of each other or ignoring the problems. We have our unity based on Scripture, on the word of the prophets and the apostles that has been handed down to us. And what is the central core of that message? What is the cornerstone of the foundation that is being built? It is, of course, Christ. This is what Paul is trying to get at when he talks about us all being united as one in Christ. He doesn't mean it in some sort of superficial way. He doesn't mean it even in some sort of like mystic way or some sort of only spiritual way. What he means is that the people who have been united as one in Christ believe what Christ taught. That they believe what has been taught to them from the apostles and the prophets. That we have been joined in Christ through the doctrine of Christ. If you want to know why doctrine is important, this is a great passage to look at. Jesus cares about what he taught us, which shouldn't be surprising, right? He's the one who taught it to us. So of course he cares about what he taught to us. And it's when we are in union with that we are at peace with us all. When you can come together and you can start on the foundation of, okay, you agree that what Jesus said was true and I agree that what Jesus said was true. All right, let's figure this out. That's where our peace comes from. In knowing that we are fellow believers. In knowing that at the end of the day, we're still going to be brothers in Christ, even if we may disagree on something. Because we know that we're both trying to find the truth of Christ. That we're both seeking to be in unity with each other. That is how the Spirit has set about building us into a holy temple in the Lord. That is how we as individuals are being built together as a dwelling place for God. Not as individuals at all, actually, but as stones that are being built into the most glorious building that will ever be built. And so, I'll ask you again, are you an alien? Or maybe a more important question for most of us here in this place, are we treating other people like they are aliens? It's been a problem for as long as there's been a church. Paul knew that as he wrote to the Ephesians, he knew that the Jewish Christians and the Greek Christians weren't getting along very well, that they were separating into their own groups, that they weren't comfortable being with people who were different than they were. Paul here is trying to get people to realize that part of the wondrous blessing of Christ is that we don't all need to come from the same place. That we don't all need to look the same. and speak the same and act the same. In Christ, all are made one. And so the question that we all need to ask ourselves is this: am I purposely or accidentally pushing people out? Or maybe, am I allowing myself to be pushed out? The peace that we have in Christ is a real and true thing. It isn't a surface-level calm that is hiding the turmoil underneath it. It isn't about something simply, about not talking about something simply because you don't want to make waves. The peace of Christ is the peace that passes all understanding, and it's a peace that we have right now. The peace that comes from knowing that Jesus died for your sins and that he also died for the sins of the person next to you, and the person next to them, and the person on the other side of the world. That's the peace of Christ that he wants us to have. Peace that is primarily with God, but is secondarily with those around us. All of us who are in Christ are free to make use of that peace. To know that no matter what strifes and struggles are racking them, that they are at peace with Christ, with the Father, and with the Spirit because of what Jesus did on the cross. And that means that we can also be at peace with each other. You are free to live that peace in this world, and to look forward and to hope in the day that will come when that peace becomes apparent to all. Now may that peace, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.